tune from me, Aqua Alex Cardinelli.
You are listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex. On the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, any and everything tropical fish and aquariums will be discussed. From freshwater to saltwater, cichlids to clownfish, Aqua Alex has you covered. What tropical fish topic is up for discussion today? Let's find out. Aqua Alex, take it away.
From everyone here, Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween! Welcome to the Halloween Aquatic Bash here on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Things are about to get spooky. Aqua Alex is going to be counting down the top 10 scariest monster predatory fish, discussing the vampires of the aquarium hobby with fish that have teeth, and much more, including scary spooky stories and Halloween candy discussion. Now on to the show. Please welcome Monster Aqua Alex.
Happy Halloween! Hello, tropical fish keepers, and welcome to a very special episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I'm your host, Monster Aqua Alex Cardinelli. It's the day when all the monsters come out on the prowl. The monsters come out looking to scare. Monster fish head on out of their caves today and gulp up and eat the little feeder fish. It's Halloween today, and it's time to be scary. I, Monster Aqua Alex, have put together a wonderful action-packed show to celebrate Halloween. Halloween is one of my personal favorite holidays. I love candy, I love spooky stories, and I love celebrating Halloween. I have put together a monster tropical fish bash to celebrate Halloween today. I will be discussing many different monster predatory fish, all of which are scary creatures perfect for Halloween. This will be one of the only times that I, Aqua Alex, will ever go off topic on an episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. But after all, it is Halloween. And what symbolizes Halloween best? Candy and scary stories. I will be discussing candy and share some scary stories with all of you. Tropical fish keepers, thank you for coming to celebrate Halloween with me, and I hope that you will enjoy the show. As always, this show is done for you. With that in mind, thank you for taking the time to listen to this show on Halloween Day. Here is what's on the agenda for today's episode. Top 10 Scary Monster Fish. I count down the 10 scariest monster fish that I could think could make you crap your pants should you see them in person. So, yes, I count down the top 10 scariest monster fish that I think could make you shit your pants should you see them. To see aquatic creatures, I discuss the vampires and bats of the aquarium world. Fish that bite, fish with teeth, fish that can chew your hand off. Find out about the following fish: piranhas, wolffish, and pariah. Unusual oddball aquatic creatures. The ugly, the strange, the creepy. These are words that can describe the unusual oddball aquatic creatures I will be discussing. Treats to give your fish on Halloween. What treats can you give your fish this Halloween day? Halloween scary stories and candy chat and much more. So let's get this Halloween party started right now. To begin the show, I am going to discuss treats that you can give your fish for Halloween. Humans have candy for treats on Halloween, so it's only right to treat our fish this Halloween. Treats to give your fish. Hakari BioPure Frozen Foods. Hakari has the best frozen foods. Why do I say that? We'll find out right now.
Fish love frozen foods that are full of the nutrition they need and not freezer burned. Hakari BioPure offers the world's only frozen foods that are gut-loaded with bio-encapsulated multivitamins and packaged for maximum freshness. Our no-touch, mess-free Q-Packs offer portions that are easy to adjust and keeps the food completely airtight and in optimum condition. Gone are the days of having to rinse the food before feeding, because Hakari BioPure is packed in pure, fresh water, making it the world's cleanest frozen food.
And Hakari BioPure frozen foods include bloodworms, brine shrimp, Maiestis shrimp, Spirulina brine shrimp, TubeFX worms, Mega Marine Angel and Mega Marine Algae, Mega Marine for the saltwater fish, Silver Sides, and Discus foods. These are just examples of the different kinds of frozen foods Hakari has to offer. Hakari frozen food is the best on the market, hands down. Other treats you can give to your fish on Halloween include market shrimp, earthworms, your fish stuff freeze-dried krill, which I use and I highly recommend, yourfishstuff.com. My fish love their freeze-dried krill. And if you have any vegan fish or herbivores, you can feed them nori and algae wafers. Now let's talk about some of the toothy creatures that the aquarium and aquatic world provide. I'll start with piranhas. Piranhas have never had the most darling of reputations. Just look at the 1978 cult film Piranha, in which a pack of piranhas escape a military experiment gone wrong and feast on unsuspecting lake swimmers. Or the 2010 remake, where prehistoric piranhas devour humans in 3D detail. Then or now, Hollywood certainly hasn't done the piranha any favors. But are these freshwater fish the vicious river monsters they're made out to be? Not exactly. Piranhas do indeed have sharp teeth, and many are carnivorous. But there's a lot of diet variation among species. That's one reason piranhas have proved hard to taxonomically classify. Piranhas are also hard to tell apart in terms of species, diet, coloration, teeth, and even geographic range. This lack of knowledge adds a bit of dark mystery to the creatures. Piranha's bad reputation is at least partially Teddy Roosevelt's fault. When Theodore Roosevelt journeyed to South America in 1913, he encountered, among other exotic creatures, several different species of piranha. Here's what he had to say about them in his bestseller, Through the Brazilian Wilderness. They are the most ferocious fish in the world. Even the most formidable fish, the sharks or the barracudas, usually attack things smaller than themselves. But the piranhas habitually attack things much larger than themselves. They will snap a finger off a hand incautiously trailed in the water. They mutilate swimmers. In every river town in Paraguay, there are men who have been thus mutilated. They will rend and devour alive any wounded man or beast, for blood in the water excites them to madness. They will tear wounded wild fowl to pieces and bite off the tails of big fish as they grow exhausted when fighting after being hooked. Roosevelt went on to recount a tale of a pack of piranhas devouring an entire cow. According to Mental Floss, locals put on a bit of a show for Roosevelt, extending a net across the river to catch piranhas before he arrived. After storing the fish in a tank without food, they tossed a dead cow in the river and released the fish, which naturally devoured the carcass. Piranhas have lived in South America for millions of years. Today, piranhas inhabit the fresh waters of South America from the Orinoco River Basin in Venezuela up to the Paraná River in Argentina. Though estimates vary, around 30 species inhabit the lakes and rivers of South America today. Fossil evidence puts piranha ancestors in the continent's rivers 25 million years ago. But modern piranha genre may have only been around for 1.8 million years. Some piranha species are vegetarians. These include Mylius, Mentanus, and Paku, which are cousins of the piranha. When hunting prey, piranhas go for the tail and eyes. A 1972 study in red-bellied piranhas found that the fish most frequently attack goldfish in a lab setting, beginning with their prey's tail and or eyes. The researchers concluded that such an attack strategy would effectively immobilize piranha's opponents and provide useful for survival. Piranhas run in packs for safety, not strength. Part of piranha's fierce reputation stems from the fact that they often swim in packs or shoals. Red-bellied piranhas are particularly known as pack hunters. Though it may seem an adventurous hunting technique, more fish could theoretically take down a larger foe. The behavior actually stems from fear. Piranhas aren't apex predators. They're prey to caimans, birds, freshwater river dolphins, and other large pescetarian fish. So traveling in shoals has the effect of protecting the inner fish from attack. Further, shoals tend to have a hierarchy of larger, older fish towards the center and younger fish on the outer edges, suggesting that safety might be the true motivation. They'll only attack you if you mess with them or their eggs. Though piranhas have a reputation for attacking, there's not much evidence to support the legend. Like grizzly bears, wolves, sharks, and pretty much any large scary thing with teeth, piranhas will leave you alone if you leave them alone. Black piranhas and red-bellied piranhas are considered the most dangerous and aggressive toward human. Nonetheless, South American swimmers typically emerge from piranha-infested waters without loss of flesh. For swimmers, the danger comes when the water level is low, prey is scarce, or you disturb its spawn buried in the riverbed. Basically, a situation where the fish either feel really threatened or really hungry, and thus become more aggressive. For fishermen, untangling a piranha from a net or a hook is where things get dicey. In most cases, if they bite you, they only bite you once, and they usually go for the toes or feet. Piranhas seem to be attracted to noise, splashing, and blood. A 2007 study linked noise, splashing, and spilling food, fish, or blood into the river with three instances of piranha attacks on humans in Suriname. Piranhas might be naturally attuned to pick up on the sound of fruits and nuts falling from trees and hitting the water, and thus mistake splashing children for the noise associated with food. Types of piranhas: Pygocentris, your common red-bellied piranha, your Caribe piranha, which is a red-bellied piranha with a black spot on it, your Paria piranha, which is a red-bellied piranha that has a yellow belly. Serosomus piranhas. These include the black piranha, which is a rhombus piranha. These also include Mamanielli piranha. Prestobirachon includes the fruit-eating piranhas. Mylius, which includes red hooks, black bar silver dollars, and other silver dollars. Mentanus, which includes vegan piranhas. Mentanus eat veggies. And Pacus, which are cousin to the piranhas.
From everyone here, happy Halloween.
Now that we have discussed piranhas, let's discuss wolfish. Piranhas are pussycats. The Hapalas of South America are the predators to really fear, says Oliver Lacansis. Wolfish have been known to eat piranhas in the wild. They have also been known to attack and eat reptiles and small mammals. They grow much bigger than piranhas, with some species of wolfish reaching several feet in length. No freshwater fish has a more fearsome reputation than the piranha, but as many aquarists soon learn, these are actually quite timid. They get nervous when the aquarium is approached and prefer to bite pieces of other fish's fins rather than devour them whole. However, South America is home to another group of fish that are far more ferocious and much more aggressive. This is the family of the Amazon wolffish, found from Costa Rica to Argentina and nearly every kind of water. Because the wolffish can breathe air, it could survive where few others could. In the dry season, it's not unusual to find wolffish, the last survivors, in an emptying pool. Despite their reputation, wolffish can be good aquarium fish and are surprisingly interesting with other fish or in groups. Special rules apply, but these fish are hardy and easy to maintain. All wolffish are excellent jumpers, and any aquarium must be covered at all times. The good thing about wolffish is there's a wolffish for everyone, because there's wolffish that stay small, that grow up to 8 inches, and there's wolffish that grow big, some wolffish reaching several feet in length. Wolffish have very sharp teeth, and they could pierce their owner's hands, so always be careful when working in an aquarium that has a wolffish in it. Our third and last fish with teeth we're going to discuss is the pariah, a.k.a. the vampire fish, a.k.a. the saber-toothed tetra. The common name saber-tooth refers to the two large fangs that protrude from its lower jaw. These two teeth are so long that the upper jaw has holes for them to fit into. This ferocious carnivore is fast and aggressive. It will usually grab its prey whole, trapping the smaller fish in its mouth, then maneuver it to be able to be swallowed head first. If the prey is too big, however, the saber-toothed chirrusin may first chop it into smaller, bite-sized chunks. Like all saber-tooths, the saber-toothed tetra grows quite large. In the wild, the saber-toothed tetra can grow over 23.5 inches in length. Saber-toothed tetra, a.k.a. pariah, are found throughout the eastern and central portions of the Amazon River Basin in South America, as well as in the Rio Orinoco and Esquibul River in Guyana. They inhabit clean, fast-flowing waters, including rapids, and at the bottom of waterfalls. They're often found in loose groups and feed on smaller fish. The saber-toothed chirrusin is extremely difficult to keep in home aquariums. It needs a very large tank of at least 200 gallons and a better-than-average filter system. Their water must be of excellent quality and highly oxygenated. These fish sometimes refuse food in captivity, and what's feeding need a varied diet of fish. Furthermore, if this fish is startled, it has been known to injure itself frantically trying to escape. They have been known to injure themselves in frantic efforts to escape. These fish often only survive for 6 months to a year, with just a few reported as living up to 2 years. This may be a result of a large bioload resulting in nitrogenous waste. An extremely large aquarium is required to support a school. Saber-toothed tetras, pariahs, are carnivorous piscivores. They only eat live foods and they love fish. Appropriate aquarium fare includes live fish, such as feeder fish, earthworms, and river shrimps. These fish could be properly trained to eat whole dead fish, such as frozen silversides and landfish, but this has not been confirmed because not many people have been successful in keeping a pariah in a home aquarium. Those are your toothy aquatic creatures that we talked about here on this Halloween Day broadcast of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Let's take a quick break from Tropical Fish Chat. Now on to our first Halloween scary story.
Jack-o'-lantern. Excerpted from Spooky Maryland. Retold by S.E. Schlosser. After a long day of unlucky hunting, I found myself stuck in the middle of the marshlands for the night, without a flashlight or a lantern to guide my stumbling steps. So I settled beside a fallen log to rest until daylight. As I tossed and turned, I recalled the story my great uncle told me about a ghost that haunted the marshlands. There was once a man named Jack who was a nasty fellow. He beat his wife and kids and was an all-around bad chap. Jack got worse and worse as the years rolled by. But finally Jack's body got so wore out that he died. He went up to heaven, but Saint Peter refused to let such a wretched fellow in. Then he went to hell, but the devil barred the door as soon as he saw Jack coming and wouldn't let him in either. "Go away and don't come back," the devil told Jack. "How am I supposed to get back in the dark?" Jack grumbled. "Give me a lantern." So the devil threw a chunk of molten fire out to Jack, who took it for his lantern and went back to Earth, where he wanders forever through the swamps and marshlands of the Earth, a bitter spirit whose only delight was in luring the unwary to their doom with his lamp. At this juncture in my musings, I happened to look out over the marshes and noticed a blinking light in the fog. "Is that you, Jack-o'-lantern?" I called jovially. "Jack, Jack, Jack," a voice whispered back. I was seriously spooked. I clutched my gun to my chest, the hairs on my arms standing on end. Had that been an echo of my voice, or was someone out here with me? "Who's there?" I shouted, trying to sound brave and menacing. I waved my gun around. "Show yourself at once." "Jack, Jack, Jack," the voice hissed from a completely different section of the swamp. A light blinked on and then off. On and then off. Shudders ran up my spine at the sound of that ghastly voice coming from nowhere. I huddled up against the log, wanting something firm at my back. Suddenly, the story of the jack-o'-lantern didn't seem so funny. My heart was pounding so hard it made my chest hurt. I strained my ears in the silence that fell over the swamp. "Jack, Jack, Jack," the voice hissed from somewhere to my left this time. The light blinked on, off, on. I counted 10 heartbeats this time before it went. The voice sounded closer. I held very still, my instincts screaming at me to hold my breath and not move until the menace had passed. The voice came again, far off to the right. "Jack, Jack, Jack," it hissed. The light came on, off, on. Off. "It's moving away," I thought, relaxing just a bit. Feeling safer. There was a long, long, long silence. Nothing stirred, not the wind in the grass, not the frogs or turtles in the water, not the crickets or night insects. "Jack, Jack, Jack," the voice hissed softly, right into my ear. And I looked up into the glowing red eyes and twisted face of the Jack-o'-lantern. I screamed, and lashed out at it with my gun. I ran a few steps, tripped and fell over, knocking my head on a sharp stone. For a moment I saw stars, and I felt blood pouring from my scalp. But the jack-o'-lantern was right behind me. I had to get away. I rolled and fell into a deep pool. I plunged underneath the water, flailing desperately against trope-like grasses that tried to keep me down. My head finally burst out of the water, and I gasped desperately for air, treading water as best I could with my trembling limbs and aching head. I heard the creature laugh in the mist. "Jack, Jack, Jack," the voice hissed delightedly, and the light blinked on, off, on right over my head, blinding my dazed eyes as horror flowed through me and froze my limbs so I could no longer swim. For a long moment, the grotesque face and red eyes of the jack-o'-lantern loomed out of the mist before my petrified gaze. My head started to swim with pain from my bleeding skull. The evil face above me, lit by its bright light, whirled around and around, growing dimmer as my eyes started to glaze. I was vaguely aware that I should keep swimming, keep trying to make my way to the edge of the pool, but the effort was too much for my suddenly heavy limbs. I barely noticed myself plunging down and down into the watery depths of the pool, too stunned by my injury to fight my way to the surface a second time. Then there was only darkness, and silence, and a voice hissing in cold triumph, "Jack, Jack, Jack."
Okay, right now I'm going to go ahead and take a quick intermission. During this intermission, I will play a few Halloween songs and infomercials for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Coming up next, I'm going to discuss unusual, oddball aquatic creatures. I'm going to talk about Halloween candy. We're going to hear our second Halloween scary story, and then the main event, the top 10 scary monster predatory fish. Halloween 2018 Aquatic Bash continues. I'm back in a few minutes, right after this intermission. Enjoy the Halloween music, the candy commercials, and our infomercials.
You like to see something strange?
Come with us and you will see. This our town of Halloween. This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night. This is Halloween, everybody make a scene. Trick or treat,
tell the neighbors on your diaphragm.
It's our town, everybody's
free. This town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Round that corner and hiding in the trash, and something's waiting as a pounce, and how you scream!
This is Halloween!
Red and black!
And slightly green!
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine! Say it once, say it twice, take a chance and roll the dice, ride with the moon in the dead of night!
Everybody scream! Everybody scream!
In our town of Halloween!
I am the clown with the tearaway face!
Here in a flash, you vomit and trace!
I am the who in the clown's lair!
I am the wind blowing through your hair!
I am the shadow on the moon at night, filling your dreams to the brim with fright!
This is Halloween! This is Halloween! 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 Halloween!
Halloween! Halloween!
No fun without a good scare.
That's our job.
But we're not mean in our town of Halloween.
In this town,
don't we love it now?
Everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Skeleton Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a banshee, make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween, everybody scream.
Halloween, 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 Hallo
Here's a good Halloween trick. Buy a bunch of Reese's. There you go. Turn off all the lights in your house. And then you just don't answer the door. I'm sorry, Reese's. Is it too early to start celebrating Halloween? Well, if you're celebrating by eating Reese's, then no. You're actually late. Not sorry, Reese's.
Hello, Mrs. Jensen. You don't have any Snickers in your shopping cart. The neighborhood kids love Snickers on Halloween. Let me help you. I'm only helping. Snickers.
We're definitely going to her house.
Shh. This Halloween, nothing satisfies like Snickers.
Support me on Patreon. Show me Aqua Alex some love. I put a lot of time, effort, and dedication into every episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. It's a work of art, a work of spoken tropical fish keeping art. Show me some love by hitting up my Patreon page and donating as much as you can. Your value, your listen, and your support matters to me. So check me out on Patreon.com, Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. That's Patreon.com/ Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. www.patreon.com/ Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast.
Hey, fish keepers, do you have a topic you want to hear Aqua Alex talk about? Do you have a freshwater or saltwater topic you want to hear about? Well, contact Aqua Alex at alexshowyankeescardinelli19@gmail.com or hit him up on Facebook, the Aquarium Network, and let him know what topics you want to hear. Do you also have a special guest you want to see on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast? Great! Let Aqua Alex know at alexgoyankeescardinelli19@gmail.com or contact him on Facebook, the Aquarium Network.
It's time to discuss the unusual predatory oddball aquatic creatures. And I'm going to start with the lungfish. Lungfish have a highly specialized respiratory system. They have a distinct feature that their lungs are connected to the larynx and pharynx without a trachea. While other species of fish can breathe air using modified vascularized gas bladders, these bladders are usually simple sacs devoid of complex internal structure. In contrast, the lungs of lungfish are subdivided into numerous smaller air sacs, maximizing the surface area available for gas exchange. Lungfish are omnivores, feeding on fish, insects, crustaceans, worms, mollusks, amphibians, and plant matter. They have an intestinal spiral valve rather than a true stomach. African and South American lungfish are capable of surviving seasonal drying out of their habitats by burrowing into mud and estivating throughout the dry season. So isn't that unusual and kind of creepy? A fish can live out of water for so long. A lungfish can live out of water as long as it's moist for up to several months. That's pretty cool. That's why I like the lungfish. Our next unusual aquatic creature is the axolotl. Although the axolotl is commonly known as a walking fish, it is not a fish, but an amphibian. The species was originally found in several lakes. Axolotls are unusual among amphibians in that they reach adulthood without undergoing metamorphosis. Instead of developing lungs and taking to the land, adults remain aquatic and gilled. As of 2010, wild axolotls were near extinction due to urbanization in Mexico City and consequent water pollution, as well as the introduction of invasive species such as tilapia and perch. They are currently listed by CITES as an endangered species and by IUCN as critically endangered in the wild with a decreasing population. Axolotls are used extensively in scientific research due to their ability to regenerate limbs. Axolotls were also sold as food in Mexican markets and were a staple in the Aztec diet. The axolotl is a popular exotic pet. Temperatures at approximately 61 degrees Fahrenheit to 64 degrees Fahrenheit are suggested for captive axolotls to ensure sufficient food intake. Stress resulting from more than a day's exposure to lower temperatures may quickly lead to disease and death, and temperatures higher than 75 degrees Fahrenheit may lead to a metabolic rate increase, also causing stress and eventual death. Chlorine, commonly added to tap water, is harmful to axolotls. A single axolotl typically requires a 20-gallon tank with a water depth of at least 6 inches. Axolotls spend the majority of the time at the bottom of the aquarium. In captivity, axolotls eat a variety of readily available foods, including trout and salmon pellets, frozen or live bloodworms, earthworms, and waxworms. Axolotls can also eat feeder fish, but care should be taken as fish may contain parasites. And I'm going to do a show in the future here on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast talking about axolotls, and I'll find a very special guest who is knowledgeable on axolotls because I've never kept them before, so I don't know much about them, but I'll be interviewing a guest, and in the future that guest and I will talk about axolotls. The third and final unusual predatory aquatic creature we're going to talk about is another amphibian, and it's the African clawed frog. African aquatic frog of the family Pepidae. Its name is derived from the three short claws on each hind foot, which it uses to tear apart its food. This species is found throughout much of sub-Saharan Africa, Nigeria and Sudan to South Africa, and in isolated introduced populations in North America, South America, and Europe. All species of the family Pepidae are tongueless, toothless, and completely aquatic. They use their hands to shove food in their mouths and down their throats, and a hybranchial pump to draw or suck things in their mouths. Pepidae have powerful legs for swimming and lunging after food. They also use the claws on their feet to tear pieces of larger food. In the wild, African clawed frogs are considered pests in many areas. They adapt easily and are hardy predators, with some even able to survive cold weather other frogs could not. They're known to eat the young of other frogs. Being a fairly large-sized frog, African clawed frogs require some space. 30 gallons per frog is a good rule of thumb to follow when setting up a tank for your amphibian. While African clawed frogs do not need a land area, the water should only be about 12 inches deep so that the frog will be able to easily reach the surface since they must breathe oxygen. A minimum of 6 inches is recommended to allow the frog room to maneuver. A secure lid is also a must, as these frogs are adept at propelling themselves out of the water and escaping when they are given the chance. Escape frogs have contributed to invasive populations outside of Africa. A gravel substrate can be used in the bottom of the tank, but avoid small gravel. You don't want your frog to ingest it. Use rocks, wood branches or logs, and flower pots to decorate the tank and provide hiding places. African clawed frogs with no place to hide may become stressed. Live plants can also be added to the tank, but the frogs will dig up and generally destroy them, so many people go the artificial route instead. African clawed frogs will eat a variety of foods, live or not. Many owners feed floating reptile or amphibian sticks with success. While these sticks are typically well-balanced, feeding a variety of food is still a good idea for your African clawed frog. Items such as waxworms, earthworms, feeder fish, bloodworms, brine shrimp, and even fish food are all good options. And like I said, I'll also do a special episode on African clawed frogs with a special guest who has more knowledge on them than I do. Alright, those are your unusual predatory aquatic creatures. I hope you guys enjoyed learning about these unusual predatory aquatic creatures.
Happy Halloween from me, Aqua Alex Cardinelli.
Right now, we're going to hear our second and final Halloween scary story. The name of this Halloween scary story is The Shrouded Horseman.
When the Civil War ended, Jeremiah Jones found himself a free man, here to make a new life for himself. He made his way north to Milwaukee. Several years he worked odd jobs until he earned enough money to buy himself a big white horse and a flatbed wagon without sides. He was hired by the Phillips Best Brewing Company. Jeremiah began his delivery route, greeting everyone with a cheerful smile and a joke that delighted the brewery's customers and earned him a good reputation. Jeremiah quickly earned enough to buy property on the outskirts of town, where he built a beautiful little cottage. Once he was settled, Jeremiah decided it was time to marry. He had his eye on a pretty girl named Lucille. Her parents were surprised by the match, but quickly resigned themselves to the situation, not wishing to alienate their only daughter. But for Lucille's brother, James, it was another matter entirely. He thought that Lucille had married beneath her, and he hated the former slave for stealing his sister's heart. Lucille left her parents' home forever on the wagon pulled by the large white horse, and she never set foot on that part of the city again. She and Jeremiah lived simply but happily in their little cottage by the woods. 3 months passed when Lucille returned home early one evening to find Jeremiah laying dead in a puddle of blood on the floor of the barn. His face was battered, almost beyond recognition. His arms and legs broken in several places. Half hidden under his legs, she saw a silver pocket watch, one that she had last seen attached to the waistcoat of her brother James. The white horse in the wagon had been hacked to pieces. Lucille's brother had fled the city by the time the sheriff arrived to his house to question him. A warrant was put out for his arrest, but James was nowhere to be found. Lucille put the cottage up for sale and left town. No one in the area wanted to buy the house, thinking it had been tainted by such a brutal murder. So it remained empty. And that was that, until one evening at dusk, when the phantom appeared in the wagon, drawn by the glowing white horse. The driver was a tall figure, wearing a gray shroud that flapped under the force of an invisible gale. The spirit of Jeremiah Jones had returned to avenge himself upon his murderer, and would not rest until he found him. About 6 months after the sightings began, James, the murdering brother, returned to Lucille's house.
Lucy,
Lucy on back. James staggered around the yard, having fortified his courage in the local bar. Suddenly, he spied the phantom wagon, carrying down the road with the shrouded figure standing upon it in its seat, cracking his long whip ferociously. The white horse was wild-eyed with fury, picked up speed while it saw the man who had killed his master, and gave a scream of anger that stopped Lucille's brother in his tracks. The ghost snapped the end of the whip around James' leg and pulled him off his feet, when the horse and wagon drove right over. James gave a sort of gasp, and then flopped onto the ground, dead as a mackerel, with a look of sheer terror on his face.
Now it's time to talk about Halloween candy. My favorite Halloween candy. I really love the Reese's pumpkins that they have this time of year. And also my favorite Reese's happens to be the Reese's white chocolate ghosts that come out this time of year. I also love Twix. Twix is a great classic candy. Twix is my all-time favorite candy bar, and I love it during Halloween as well. Kit Kat is another favorite of mine, and Snickers. So what is your favorite Halloween candy? I hope you get to have your favorite Halloween candy today on Halloween. I'm going to share some Halloween candy facts with all of you. A lot of people hand out Halloween candy. Of the 157 million people who participate in Halloween, more than 141 million buy candy. That's almost 45% of the entire USA population filling plastic pumpkins and pillowcases with sugary goodness. The most popular Halloween candy is Reese's. According to US Today, Peanut Butter Cup sales neared $510 million in 2013. It's also the most popular candy in the most populated states, California and Texas. M&M's came in a close second with more than $500 million in sales in 2013. Halloween candy is expensive. Consumers spend an average of $2.1 billion on Halloween candy each year, or about $47 per American. As a comparison, they collectively spend $2.6 billion on costume and $330 million dressing up their pets. Chocolate is America's favorite. More than half of the money Americans spend on Halloween candy is used to buy chocolate. In 2013, that ended up costing $3.9 billion for 3.5 billion bars under 3.5 ounces, about the average size you see at grocery stores.
Happy Halloween from me, Aqua Alice Cardinelli.
Now the moment of truth. I count down the top 10 scariest monster fish of all time. Seeing these fish in person just might make you crap your pants. Coming in at number 10 is the alligator gar. Just the sheer size of the alligator gar is enough to scare. But the teeth this monster fish possess can cause quite the injury to those who might mess with it. It is the largest species in the gar family and among the largest freshwater fish in North America. The fossil record traces its existence back over 100 million years ago. Gars are often referred to as primitive fishes or living fossils because they have retained some morphological characteristics of their earlier ancestors, such as a spiral valve intestine, which is also common to the digestive system in sharks, and the ability to breathe both air and water. Their common name was derived from their resemblance to the American alligator, particularly their broad snout and long, sharp teeth. In 2011, the largest alligator gar ever caught and officially recorded was 8 foot 5, a quarter of an inch, 2,572 meters long, weighed 327 pounds, 148 kilograms, and was 47 inches, 120 centimeters around the girth. Alligator gars are ferocious ambush predators. They are opportunistic night predators and are primarily fishivores. But they also ambush and eat waterfowl and small mammals that may be floating on the surface. Their method of ambush is to float a few feet below the surface and wait for unsuspecting prey to swim within reach. They lunge forward and with a sweeping motion grab their prey, impaling it on their double rows of sharp teeth. Coming in at number 9, the Arapuma. A fish that can grow bigger than a human is surely terrifying. When I first saw an Arapuma at the aquarium, I was scared shitless. Looking at a fish twice the size of you is quite intimidating. I wanted to leave the exhibit soon because I was scared the glass would break and I'd be even closer with these beasts. These fish can do plenty of damage to the human body, including break ribs or even cause deaths. Jeremy Wade suffered some kind of injury from this fish. Coming in at number 8 is the green moray eel. Green moray eels are often feared and mistaken for sea serpents. The green moray eel feeds mostly at night on fish, crabs, shrimp, octopuses, and squid. This species is one of the largest morays, with a maximum recorded size of 8 feet and 65 pounds. The green moray is found in the western Atlantic Ocean from New Jersey to Bermuda and the northern Gulf of Mexico southward to Brazil. This solitary animal hides among cracks and crevices along rocky shorelines and in coral reefs. Large green morays have few natural predators. Green morays are sedentary predators with strong teeth. Rather than hunting for food, they wait until food comes to them. Part of their vicious reputation may come from the fact that they habitually open and close their mouths, which shows off their sharp teeth. Although this behavior may appear threatening, the eel is actually taking in water to breathe. The water passes over the gills and exits through vent-like openings at the back of the head. Coming in at number 7 is the black rhombus piranha. It's very widespread. It's found in the Amazon Basin, Orinoco Basin, Guyanas, Venezuela, and Peru. The black rhombus piranha is the largest piranha species, reaching at least 18 inches, according to South American locals, even as much as 22 inches, and possibly even larger. Compared to most other piranha species, there is a relatively high number of larger specimens in home and public aquariums, 12 inches and above, although true giants, 18 inches plus are very rare. This species has a notoriously slow growth rate, and a specimen of 12 inches or larger are already really old fish. In the wild, this species is a parasitic fin nipper when young, full-blown predatory carnivore when older, will almost without exception not tolerate anything else living in its tank. Even much larger fish will be attacked, nipped, and injured over and over again until they finally perish. Black rhombus piranhas can deliver extremely painful wounds. It is said that a mature Rhombus Piranha is capable of severing a man's hand at the wrist in two or three bites, and given the potential size of this very large and very powerful species, it's hard to believe this is a gross exaggeration. Coming in at number 6 is the electric eel. Despite their serpentine appearance, electric eels are not actually eels. Electric eels are a part of the knifefish family. So the electric eel is relative of the black ghost knife and the clown knife. These famous freshwater predators get their name from the enormous electrical charge they can generate to stun prey and dissuade predators. Their bodies contain electric organs with about 6,000 specialized cells called electrocytes that store power like tiny batteries. When threatened or attacking prey, these cells will discharge simultaneously. They live in the murky streams and ponds of the Amazon and Orinoco basins of South America, feeding mainly on fish, but also amphibians and even birds and small mammals. As air breathers, they must come to the surface frequently. They also have poor eyesight, but can emit a low-level charge less than 10 volts, which they use like radar to navigate and locate prey. Electric eels can reach huge proportions, exceeding 8 feet in length and 44 pounds in weight. Human deaths from electric eels are extremely rare. However, multiple shocks can cause respiratory or heart failure, and people have been known to drown in shallow water after a stunning jolt. So, if you ever have an enemy or someone you can't stand, take their face and shove it in an aquarium housing an electric eel and put their face right on the electric eel. Zap! Just kidding. Coming in at number 5, the Goliath tigerfish. When your name is Goliath, you better be one humongous, ferocious creature, and the Goliath tigerfish definitely lives up to its moniker. A native of the Congo River Basin, the Lualaba River, Lake Ebumba, and Lake Tanganyika in Africa, it is the largest member of the tigerfish clan, a genus of fierce predators with protruding, dagger-like teeth. The biggest one on record was nearly 5 feet long and weighed 154 pounds, the equivalent of a super welterweight prize fighter. And it outclasses other African game fish in speed and power. Locals say it's the only fish that doesn't fear the crocodile and that it actually eats smaller ones. It's also been known to attack humans in rare instances. It's so lightning quick and forceful that not only will it snap an angler's line, but it will sometimes make off with his or her tackle. No wonder one fishing safari promoter requires clients read a cautionary treatise on the Goliath before agreeing to a fishing trip. Coming in at number 4, stingrays. And stingrays make people fear them because of their venom. One sting by a stingray and you will be in pain. Freshwater stingrays have more venom than the saltwater stingrays. So if you ever hop on down to South America and walk in one of the rivers, be careful about the freshwater stingrays in the sandy bottom because they can sting you and they will not be pretty. Saltwater stingrays also hurt. I would never want to be stung by any stingray, freshwater or saltwater. Coming in at number 3 is the Titan triggerfish. If you're diving into the Indo-Pacific region, especially the coral reefs of Australia, Fiji, Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines, the Maldives, and also in the Red Sea, you may want to keep an eye out for this feisty fish. The Titan triggerfish, or Titan trigger, as it's also known, packs a mean bite and is more often the reason behind divers and snorkelers sporting teeth marks in their fins, skin, missing ear, and the cause of many bruises. While only known to be aggressive and territorial during the reproduction season and when guarding its nest, the Titan sugarfish has a notorious reputation that definitely increases a diver's anxiety levels around it, and mostly it is well deserved. Almost anyone who has done a fair amount of scuba diving in these tropical regions we'll have had a run-in or two with this species of triggerfish at some point or another. Coming in at number 2, the Goliath grouper. Growing to lengths of 8.2 feet, 2.5 meters, and can weigh as much as 800 pounds, 363 kilograms. They are usually around 400 pounds when mature. Goliath groupers eat crustaceans, other fish, octopus, and young sea turtles. And coming in at number 1, the Wells catfish. Larger specimens have been observed to eat frogs, mice, rats, aquatic birds, such as ducks, and can also be cannibalistic. According to a study published by researchers at the University of Toulouse, France in 2012, individuals of the species in environments outside of their normal habitats have been observed lunging out of the water to feed on pigeons on land. Out of all beaching behaviors observed and filmed in this study, 28% of them were successful in bird capture. Stable isotope analysis of catfish stomach contents using carbon-13 and nitrogen-15 revealed a highly variable dietary consumption of terrestrial birds. This is likely the result of adapting their behavior to forage on novel prey in response to new environments upon its introduction to the Tarn River in 1983, since this type of behavior has not been reported before within a native range of this species. And that is your top 10 scary monster predatory fish. Well, I hope you enjoyed this Halloween extravaganza. We have reached the end of the show. I would like to wish everyone a happy Halloween, and I want to thank you so much for spending Halloween with me, Aqua Alex Cardinelli. I'd like to wish your kids a safe and fun trick-or-treating experience tonight, and make sure you keep them safe. Don't forget to check me out on Facebook, the Aquarium Network, and like our Facebook page, and support me on Patreon, patreon.com/Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Also, leave a review on iTunes. I'd love to see your reviews. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. And you can check out our new and upcoming episodes, or our archived episodes, by going to aquariumhobbypodcast.buzzsprout.com. Enjoy the rest of your Halloween, fish keepers. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate your listen, and I'll see you on the next episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Happy Halloween and goodbye. Happy Halloween.
You have been listening to Aqua Alex on the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Come swimming back to the next episode for more tropical fish chat and information on keeping your fish happy and healthy. Check out Aqua Alex on the following social media platforms. Facebook under the name Alex Cardinelli. Twitter at Alex Cardinelli 1. YouTube channel Exotic Monster Fish Keeper 1993. And Instagram, The Real Alex Cardinelli. We'll be right back.